The following presentation, Janet Research Update, was given by David Salmon of Janet at Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
Thanks, Andrew. I look back at what I'd said in this session last year, and what I've done is tried to provide an incremental update, so there's hopefully not too much repetition of anything that I said there, but an elaboration. Broadly, two main areas I want to touch on. The first half will be about this scheme that we've got just launched a month or two ago, soft launch, on how we're going to be aiming to support industrial connections to Janet under application. And the second half will be about essentially testbed infrastructures at various level in the network, and picking up latterly some of the SDN themes that have been discussed in some of the sessions that we've already had. Just initially, I want to just a very brief comment on e-infrastructure. You will have heard in the plenary that Jeremy gave that we're, and he showed maps of where we're extending the Janet footprint based on the e-infrastructure funding that Janet received. And the first few points there, he showed the maps on Exeter, Norwich, Hinxton. They're pretty much done and dusted at the optical level, and there'll be some service migration in due course to begin to make use of those fibres. There are a couple of others that Jeremy didn't mention. The Francis Crick Institute in London, which is sort of in the process of being built now, so it's not quite ready to be connected, but we will be doing so when it's ready. And there are some other important areas of the country where we need to evolve a little bit around the Thames Valley, connecting Rowell, Oxford, Reading and Culham. Well, we've got a fibre contract, which is fine, but the equipment needs a bit of a refresh, and that will be happening at some point this year. We're also working to get the National Computing Facility up at Edinburgh a little bit better on the map, and there's discussions going on between Sam Wilson and Rob about how we should do all that properly, and there are other things happening. One or two little places where, like Durham, where they're not quite at the capacity they need to be, and they'll be incrementally provided for using normal Janet policies until we get to the right window where we can do the regional infrastructure refresh, which is part of this broader integration program that we've been doing for a few years now. So that's all I'm going to say about that level of the infrastructure. And I want now to move on to this scheme that we're calling Janet Reach, about how we connect industry to Janet. It's been called Janet Reach just to give it a brand, but the right way to view it is a gateway to a normal Janet connection. There'll be an application process, and for those that succeed, we would then go into normal connection mechanisms that the other colleagues will be familiar with. So I've just given a synopsis, but it is a scheme there that is aiming to bridge the gap between industry and academia, and BIS wanted to see this done as part of the broad e-infrastructure environment. And we're doing it because we got given money to do it. And why BIS are interested is because the whole reason they got interested in the infrastructure is because they received a message that there would be downstream economic benefit to the country by better understanding of HPC and getting that used by companies in their product development and R&D. There's quite a bit of polarization in views about just how right or wrong that view is and what the scale of return might be, but that was the story they were sold. And there's a background question of what exactly is the infrastructure. Well, most of us here have probably got a reasonable feel for that, but it's interesting to note that the House of Lords did a sort of an inquiry into scientific infrastructures last year, and Janet and many others made a submission. And in their outputs, which I heard summarized recently at a meeting, all of the science facilities were mentioned and the network was completely ignored by the House of Lords representative. But the first academic speaker from Cranfield that spoke after her put Janet at the front of the list. So you get a sense of the those to whom it's important and those who may still be in this thought. Big science is about the kind of facilities I've highlighted there, the Diamond Light Source, the big national scale science facilities. I don't think it matters too much. The important components is that there's bits that need to be connected, computers, data, and Janet plays a role in that. So there's a summary. This is a repeat of things I said last year. Essentially, there was a large amount of money hit the community at about that scale in late 2011. It's rippled through. The points that Jeremy highlighted and I just commented upon briefly have been funded from that 22 million that's mentioned lower down there, the 10 plus the 12. What we're going to be talking about for the industry scheme is the balance of the budget that's left from the 4 million. The rationale for doing it from business perspective is this economic advantage. When we started to think about this at Janet, what does it mean to connect industry to Janet? Actually, it isn't top of the list to provide them with a network connection. Probably the first step in this process is how do people who don't have experience of this environment actually begin to get A, sold the vision, but B, begin to appreciate the techniques that are involved. And that knowledge and experience is embodied within those people who are using these facilities in the academic community. Once they're sold that point, they then need access to it, you know, account basically, and some guidance on how to use the applications on it. And then when they've built up to operating at a suitable scale that they need to be moving data in and out of the facilities, that's when Janet may have a role to play if the scale is big enough. And this scheme I'm talking about here, we're not really pitching it at low capacity connections. We really, our intention is that it needs to be probably at least half a gig or more that you'd provide over a gigabit connection, or possibly at 10 gig if there's a really serious need. We're not interested in a few hundred, tens or hundreds of megabits, because there are many other ways of doing that which are probably going to be cheaper than what Janet could offer. But in those cases where it does matter, we will have a role to play, hopefully. This isn't the first context in which Janet has been able to connect industry. We've always been able to do it at some level where there was a bona fide collaboration going on and the industrial partner would meet the marginal costs. But in practice, in my memory, in maybe 15 years plus, we've maybe only had three or four instances of that, and they haven't tended to last very long. There is a mechanism called our business and community engagement policy, which is essentially a capacity sharing issue that if a university spins out a startup, they can host it on campus and they can use the capacity to that campus. And it's up to the university to decide if they start to use too much, they've grown too much, and they then need to be outsourced. But it's a lightweight way of bootstrapping that kind of activity. The rationale in some of the early papers prior to the infrastructure funding becoming available was this sort of phrase that got put in there about an open and accessible Janet, which is easy to say, but as you'll see in a moment, when it comes to the reality of where there's a good case of making a connection, there are some sort of intricacies to doing this. The 4 million was there to support industry. We've broken out into roughly these proportions. It's not hard and fast. But Henry and his colleagues are using some portion of the funding to work on the authentication and federated ID management area to make sure that where academia is using those techniques, that they are equally available to industry partners. So it's elaborating the moonshot pilot, but adding bits to that so that industry is aware of it and can use it where appropriate. The bit I'll now concentrate on is the 2.5 million that we've reserved and Hefke mandated we reserve to support the connection scheme. And one of the reasons why it's taken us a while to get to grips with this is because there are policy issues essentially around state aid. We can't just use this money, it's public funding. So there needs to be some scrutiny of applications to make sure that we abide by those policies that are available and also that we're fair. So essentially there's a process where people can apply, make a case to be connected, it'll be looked at, and if it's appropriate, that will then happen. The key point is that we shouldn't distort the market by doing this, so take business away from other people. And there are rules about the nature of industry academic collaborations that have been elaborated. They're used a lot by the Technology Strategy Board, who acts as a bridging entity between the research councils and the programs that they fund, similar to the things that Jaffa was describing, and industry partners, and how those then get rippled out. So they're allowed to contribute public money towards that. A much greater proportion where the research is close to the pure R&D end of the spectrum, and a much lower proportion where an entity is actually working on commercial product design or refinement. So less generalized and much more specific to that entity. So this is an aspect that needs to be scrutinized. when people are going to apply into this scheme. There's an example here. It's actually taken from a context I was discussing yesterday, but interestingly, the points at the top of the slide there are what my colleagues, is Ian in the audience? No, he's not, but we've got a colleague in our operations team who's looking at the who has looked at the value of what Janet connections are, and this is roughly what they're deemed to be in a marketplace sense, that a gigabit between 50 and 70k for an install and operation for a year, and the variation that's in there is accommodating the length of access circuits, because we don't know up front quite what that's going to be. It could be very easy, could be very difficult. And at 10 gigabits, between 250,000 and 300k, with the same reason for the variation. That's not the direct cost to Janet, but that's what the value of connecting to Janet is at those costs. So if you take an example of an entity that wishes to connect at 10 gigabits per second, doing work at the R&D end of the spectrum, which is eligible for the higher level of support, let's say the connection turns out to be worth 300k, the external partner, the commercial partner, is willing to put in 150k so that the total project value is 450, then the proportion of the subsidy or the support that comes from the Janet connection is that fraction there, 300 over 450, 67%. It's less than the 75, therefore that one would be eligible. These are the kind of calculations that have to be done in these contexts, and they will be assessed externally so that they'll be done independent of Janet. These mechanisms are acknowledged to be the right way of demonstrating compliance under state aid. So we have this budget, we've just run the first cycle and we've had three applications into it. They're broadly confidential, so I'm not going to talk about specifics here. And we'll be looking to run this scheme roughly at every 2 month intervals for until late in the year, November, December time. Ideally, we'd like to have informal discussions with anybody who's interested in doing this, because it typically raises questions about the state aid, and we've got a consultant on board who is expert in this area and can answer these questions. And then there's a form to fill in, there's finance spreadsheets that both the industry and academic partners have to complete. They are modelled around the TSB processes and the Research Council application processes, so any organisation that's familiar with those schemes shouldn't have too much difficulty with it. At least that's the principle. Given we've just finished the first application process, we're now at the point of distributing those applications to our assessors. They'll have a few weeks to look at them. They'll come back marked. We'll resolve any questions that there are, and then there'll be a Janet panel that meets with the consultant to say, actually, do these fit what we want? Are they legal? And if they look fine, then we'll approve them. And they'll enter our normal connection process, which will then ripple through. We'll get quotes to find out whether the proportions are still valid when we know the specifics of the connection details. And then they'll proceed to implementation. And after that, we have to monitor them, because we can't just leave them to do what they want to do. We're also obliged to periodically go and engage with them just to check that they're actually doing what they said they were going to be doing in the application. And that's another aspect of the state aid scrutiny. So I've put up there the timescales that we'll be running this scheme on over this year. And there'll be more news in due course. Those are the internal people in Janet who are involved in all of this. Quick point on high throughput networking. This was raised last year. We had quite a good meeting in the middle of last year. It raised the kind of questions I've put up there, but it's stalled a little bit at the moment for lack of effort, and we need to re-energise this somewhat. And I think now that we've got the REACH scheme, I'll be doing a bit more work on that. But we're also trying to get extra effort in the group to take that on. And those of you who heard the comments to Alan Gaddian's talk in the first plenary, there were aspects of that that were beginning to be discussed there. So I want to move on now quickly to the notion of test beds. I don't think the detail's important here. When I spoke last year, I hadn't really realised that this was brewing up in that kind of way, but there's essentially been a sequence of meetings with the community. Research councils themselves have got very interested, and now funding is beginning to flow from test beds. And of course, Janet's interested in this because we can provide infrastructures to do this. One of which will be the dark fibre infrastructure, Aurora. People will be familiar with what we've had in the past, the network here. That ceased last October. But we are taking this forward again now with the infrastructure funding for the fibre footprint, and the Research Council proposals are providing exploitation funding. So from July this year, we will have 5 years worth of stability on this. So this is utopia in comparison to where we've been in the past. I won't go into the details on that. So what is it that people want to do on this? This is a slide from my colleague, Dimitri Simonidou at Bristol. On the right-hand side, there's a whole bunch of lab facilities, real kit in labs that people are working on various projects. The left-hand side, emulators and simulator software. The idea is that we get a really big mix of this kind of stuff, and that where good things are done in the lab, they can be then switched out over the fiber network to do proper field trials on a real physical instantiation. And if it still needs an involvement with the emulation and simulation facilities, then so be it, because we have a limited topology here, and there's stages that you can't go to without a fully comprehensive fiber infrastructure, but it's the best sort of scenario we can get. I'm not going to go into the dark history of all of this. Good news is that we got there. And this is an abstraction of what's going to happen. If you look at the green stuff and take that to mean the new fiber network, what we will be able to do is to extend the reach of that using Janet's Layer 2 services to people who don't happen to be actually on the fiber, so that we can get interactions between the rest of the UK community where the researchers want to do this. We can also, in principle, reach outbound to Europe and the US via the normal Layer 2 mechanisms. Even the possibility of industry R&D, which brings us back into where I started talking about earlier in the scheme there. And the research councils have put an explicit mandate on the community consortium that they investigate all collaborative opportunities possible. That's going to be the new topology. It goes to Bristol, Cambridge, London, Southampton, and the fiber routes run parallel between those two green blobs. That is Reading, actually, the leftmost of those green blobs. So there's one part of the network where we will have some duplication. The idea is that the researchers will cook up a management scheme for this, so that we've got a stack of flexibility down from the optical switch, which is this thing here. My pointer's not working. The thing called a MEMS there, this is a fiber switch. And they're going to make that software-defined network enabled, so we'll be able to do port switching on that. Layer 2 stuff on the top, normal optics to drive the capacity. So view it as a fully configurable multi-layer node, which gives complete remote management flexibility for configuring the base platform over which projects will run. I'm not going to really elaborate the control mechanisms. You can imagine how you need to do some stuff out of band. And the important point from this diagram is, if you take the top part as representing two different projects that want to use it, it should be partitionable in some sense. And again, that's another SDN concept. This is a broad statement about what the facility is about. I'll skip on. And there's a diagram here that's meant to represent the general mechanisms by means of which, on the left-hand side, we've got various services within Janet that can then interact with various services within the testbed platform, and we can extend the reach and then cross-connect them as needed. Clearly with more flexibility on the research side within the dedicated infrastructure, because we don't want to disrupt the Janet services. Finally, on software-defined networking, which is essentially another, at least at the moment for us, this is strictly reserved to a testbed context. It's nothing to do with Janet production at this point. But given the degree of interest from the research councils and the community, we've been talking for of order a year on and off of instantiating a small overlay network modelled roughly around what I showed up at the left, but that was drawn with knowledge of the groups within the universities that were interested at the time. Possible to connect it to Aurora so that we begin to get this really rich multi-layer facet. However, I ran a workshop last week in London, and we had delegates from all of the universities named up there, so there's maybe 10 there. So I think there's considerable interest growing in this. And the group at Lancaster has even got a production deployment of some 40 devices within one of its departments. So this is getting quite significant from them. They are very interested, and if anybody attended the some of the SDN talks in the exhibitor sessions yesterday, you might have heard a little bit about that. So there's strong interest in this. So what we wanted from Janet out of that meeting is to get a bit of a consolidated view on what are the requirements from them so that we can do something in the short term. We've got a modest budget reserved to do this. So what's the kind of topology that they want? And I think they would prefer something a bit richer than the triangle, but we can't afford to do an awful lot. So I have a feeling we might end up with four devices. There are legitimate questions about how this is managed and partitioned, given it needs to support multiple projects. Who manages it? What are the mechanisms? Does the software that comes with the commercial vendor devices provide you with this facility? Or does it need to be something that's come out of previous projects like Ophelia, which has been a program that's been running in this area, funded by within the commission programs for a few years now? And subtleties over which flavor of open flow should it be, whether it's the one with the forward look or the one that's got the legacy functionality. None of these are yet resolved, but we as Janet need to get the researchers to reach some consensus over this, really within the next 4 to 6 weeks, so that we can stand a chance of instantiating this first pass at an SDN overlay later this year, probably by autumn is my guess. But this is going to sit within Rob Evans's group in Jeremy's division at Janet. I should emphasize it's not intended to be exclusive. If there are others who wish to participate, we're more than happy to talk to them about that, and the LightPath Layer 2 mechanisms are there to broaden this out. There is a Gmail list if people are interested and want to participate. And just as a final point, I had some news last week that there is a very large EPSRC program grant been awarded to Bristol, Edinburgh and Lancaster as joint PIs on this. $6 million from EPSRC, $6 million in kind from industry. Janet gave a support letter for this, and it's all about SDNs. So Janet's been holding off for a while because we weren't sure of the level of community interest, but I think we've certainly reached critical mass now, which is why we held the workshop and why we're aiming to move on a little bit at that kind of level. So I've run over a shade now, so I'll stop there. Thank you. Stunned. Right.
Well, I think it's an invitation to remain, or to get and remain engaged.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.